Podtacular, episode 388, Bullseye, for August 22nd, 2013. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Dust Storm, and tonight we're taking a look at the Bullseye pack that is accompanying the championship bundle that I think most everyone listening to this has probably downloaded already. If not, it's 800 points. Go ahead and go download it from the Xbox Marketplace. If you're waiting a little while, then you're missing out on a lot of fun. The Pit, Vertigo, and Ricochet are definitely fun maps and game types to play on, so it's... You're missing out if you don't have it yet, but definitely go over and pick it up if you can. And we have some special guests on tonight to help talk about the Bullseye pack. We have some Certain Affinity guests that I've been able to graciously get on, thanks to a certain community manager over there. So we have Tom Potter, senior producer, and Steve Young, lead level designer on the Bullseye map pack. Welcome, guys, to the podcast.
Hey, thank you.
Thanks.
It's a pleasure having you guys on. I think we've been talking a little while about getting you guys on. It's just a perfect timing to actually have some folks on from Certain Affinity and get to see what this Bullseye pack is all about. So thanks again for choosing to be on this crazy ride that is Podtacular. Hopefully we don't turn you away too much. Hopefully you'll come back some other day.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, we're excited to do it.
So first things first, we do this with all of our guests, and we'll do it likewise with you. But tell us a little bit about yourselves, independent of Certain Affinity, just kind of how you got your start in the gaming industry with what you're doing, and then kind of lead that up to how you got into Certain Affinity and working with Halo. And I guess we'll go ahead and start with Tom on the first one.
Yeah, sure. I didn't start off in the industry. My background, I actually went to school, ages ago for chemistry.
Really old.
Yeah. And, I didn't like it. And at the time, going into the game industry, it just never was an option, or at least not an option that I ever knew about. So, I did some work and I did some writing for some game sites. And then, I always thought I was going to get my start as an artist. So I was taking some art classes at the time. But I got real lucky, and I got a design job at a place called Iron Lore ages ago. They made Titan Quest. And I was there for a while. Made a couple games there. I moved to Austin about 6 years ago, 7 years ago. And I've been with Certain Affinity about 3.5 years, going on 4. So my background is in more design and art, and but... For Certain Affinity, I've been a producer.
Okay. How did you get into Certain Affinity? Was it like a job posting that opened up, or was it a recommendation from a friend? How did you get that position to get into Certain Affinity, and then how did you become the senior producer?
Yeah, I actually, when I moved to Texas, I always knew about Certain Affinity. I checked out their website kind of when I was moving down here, or prior to moving down here. And they were relatively new, but in looking at their website, I was just amazed at the types of games that they had, in their portfolio. They had, Halo and Left 4 Dead. They had a couple other things on there too, and it seemed like a really cool place to work. So just by coincidence, I worked at another company down here at the time, and one of my friends who was an artist, actually, he came to Certain Affinity, and he had nothing but praise for the place. And there was a position open much later for production, and that was something that I was kind of considering. I was a designer at the time, and I think I always had kind of a brain for production. So, he had always been talking about CA and how awesome it is, and, it's a really collaborative environment. And the production roles that, he was describing are less sort of, spreadsheet jockey checking boxes and more sort of in development, getting in with the teams and helping to kind of, make sure that at the end of the project, qualitatively, you know, it's the best thing that we can possibly make. So, you know, we're very heavily involved in maintaining the quality along with the team. So it seemed like a much different role than what I was used to for production, and I was really intrigued. So that's how I started here, and I've been doing it ever since. So I've been working on the Halo stuff since we did the Halo 4 multiplayer, all the maps and stuff. So it's been a couple of years since I've been working on this stuff.
Very nice. All right, Steve, your turn.
All right, well, I guess going back about 8 or 9 years ago, I started to get heavily invested in the modding scene for various PC multiplayer games, specifically like Unreal Tournament and things like that. I'd always played them, and then when I started to learn that, I could actually do this professionally, I started to take it a lot more seriously. And I got my first job at a studio in Colorado about 7 years ago, just before I graduated. The whole time I was there, I was working on my portfolio, just trying to make really cool multiplayer levels for other games. And after that, I moved out to Houston, working at a studio there, doing some more multiplayer stuff. And when I was out in Colorado, is when I really turned into a huge Halo nerd, because my friend and I would play Halo 3 religiously. It became a fetish of ours, and he had to force himself to sell his Xbox so that he would sort of dedicate time to other things in his life that were also important to him. And we determined that we were the best Halo 3 players that had jobs at the time. That's sort of where my Halo obsession began. Even though I played a lot of Halo 1 with the LAN parties and things like that, I never got really into it until I got Halo 3. I started looking at other jobs and stuff out in Austin. For me, Certain Affinity was actually kind of a pipe dream. I never actually thought I would get to come here, work on Halo, or anything like that. But, somehow I tricked them into hiring me, and, I've been doing it for just over a year now here. And it's absolutely the best place, that I've ever worked. Not just because of what I get to work on, but because of the people I get to work with, excluding Tom, of course.
Of course.
No, it's just been awesome. Just the atmosphere here and being able to, dedicate my professional time to working on a game that I love so much, has been really fun and rewarding. So.
Very good. So go ahead and give us a rundown of what your positions call for at Certain Affinity. Like, what do you do specifically, at Certain Affinity and kind of how that relates to the Halo 4 stuff you've been working on?
Do you want me to? I don't do anything.
Okay.
Production is, you know, it's really hard to put a finger on, you know, deal with people. It's really hard to put a finger on, like, what we do, like, on a day-to-day basis. We, it's a leadership role. You know, we're trying to, you know, basically get the best out of people. On any given day, and that whatever that is, that can vary from day to day. So that could be, you know, somebody's blocked with, there's a problem with the tool set, and then it's figuring out, you know, what do we need to do to fix that, or maintaining schedules. You know, if we're playing, you know, playtesting something and it doesn't look like it's actually getting it to where we want it to be, you know, do we have to kind of adjust the schedule? Do we have to adjust our ambition? It's kind of a It definitely changes, the role changes every day. But I think just broadly, kind of facilitate everybody to do their job, if that makes sense. So on the Halo stuff specifically, on the Halo 4, work that we did, I was the producer on the multiplayer maps that we were working on at the time. And that's a lot of that role is, if you're in the industry, you kind of know about this eternal struggle between design and art. You know, they, in a lot of cases, they're sort of on different ends of the spectrum. And at sometimes they don't see eye to eye. I'm surprised at how many times you guys here do see eye to eye. But in those instances where the different departments kind of have their own priorities and things that they need to do, it's kind of getting those different teams to work together. So for the map stuff, it was specifically, you know, we had a designer, they would make a map, and then the designer would work alongside the art team to take sort of our crude block out geometry and then take it to the final state that you guys play. So it's a lot of just, you know, getting people to work with each other, you know, getting the best out of people, whether it's design, art, programming, you name it. So it can be overwhelming at times, but it's also immensely satisfying, especially at the end of the project when I think some of the map work that we've done recently is some of the best I think we've ever done. So, you know, kind of seeing that project, you know, start and then finish, it's just extremely rewarding for me.
That's good. All right, go ahead, Steve.
Sure. So, yeah, I know for Tom to explain his position is kind of difficult because producers, honestly, depending on the studio that they're at, they can have either a lot or very little responsibility. And I think it sort of comes down to how much they trust the production staff and things like that. But Tom does have a lot of responsibility and he absorbs a lot of the, negative remarks or something that we may get from various sources, whether it's higher up in the studio or whatever, or when we're crunching and there's something severe we need to figure out. Like, he's really good at sorting through and making sure that we're able to stay focused, I guess, on our specific tasks at hand and not get overwhelmed by anything that we don't necessarily need to be involved with. And I've really appreciated that on his part. I think he's done a fantastic job, actually.
Thanks.
But no problem.
Yay!
But for me, so my responsibilities basically start at I've got to make sure that we're producing killer maps, and you know, we always want to make every time we start producing a map, if we don't go into it with the mindset of we have to make the best Halo map ever, then we're doing it wrong. And so we always start on paper and sketch a bunch of maps out, and we try to figure out which ones we think would fit the gameplay and the universe the best. And then from there, I go in and use a 3D modeling program, and I sort of create these. I create the level from scratch, and it looks very abstract. It's sort of a representation of the final version that you would see in game, uh-huh. And we play test every day, which is insanely helpful. It's so that we can find various either positive or negative patterns that players are developing, or camping spots, or spots that are OP, and things like that. And we're constantly iterating. And ultimately, this is always kind of funny to me, but you gotta have kind of thick skin as a designer, and it's really important to not be very stubborn about the stuff that you're producing, because no map that I've ever created, like that I've ever started with on paper, rather, has ever turned out anything like my paper sketch by the time it's made it to completion. And that's just sort of the nature of the beast. It's like we're all working as a team to fine tune and make sure that it's the best playing map that it can possibly be. And so I'm responsible for basically taking in all the feedback, filtering it appropriately, and making sure that I'm making it better every single time we play test. And then after that, after we've gone through the stage where we call it the block out, where it's all primitive and right before we hand it off to art, I've got to work really closely with the art team and try to help them if they need help. We got some really talented artists here, but we work together to make sure that my original vision is either going to carry through to the end, or they might have a really strong vision of the direction or aesthetic that they might want to take the map in. We just work together really closely to make that happen. And Tom is absolutely right about a constant eternal struggle between art and design that I've been involved with at other studios. And one reason I think that we've been so successful is because that's not really here at all. We all get along so well, and we have such strong communication that this process goes very, very smoothly. And you know, if an artist had an idea for like, hey, maybe we could change the gameplay up here, and this would, you know, add some element that I had never thought about, then you know, we work together to actually implement that into the map. You know, it's my responsibility to make sure it still plays well, but if they've got good ideas for that stuff, then that just helps everyone. So those are basically my responsibilities.
Okay, cool. So we're gonna get into some of the Bullseye stuff here and the Champions Bundle in a little bit, guys, but before we do that, we do have some bulletin stuff to look at first. So let's go ahead and break some of that down. So, of course, we have the Global Championships, which is almost about to wrap up. It will be coming to PAX Prime. We'll have the finals there, and I think a lot of people are looking forward to that, looking forward to the live broadcast. I'll be there trying my hand at it with one of the invitations that we got from 343. I will not likely make it very far, but I'm going to try anyways. So we'll see how well that goes. As far as the bulletin is concerned, first up is the Bullseye favorites from the staff. So we have a couple of graphics on the Halo bulletin from some of the 343 staff of what they like. BS Angel, this one's no surprise. She likes the assault rifle with the trauma blood splat on it, which is kind of up her style, I think. We have a few other ones. I actually don't recognize these gamer tags. So as far as these go, I can't really say who they are, but TTL Laskin. Oh, that'd be tied to the leader. So I guess it's more than just staff. But anyways, tied the leader guy. He likes the battle rifle steam, of course. All the steampunk skins. Those are really, really cool looking. I have the BR steam skin myself now as my primary weapon of choice, so I thought that was a really good one. D's, not Deej from Bungie, but D's with a Z. He likes the Magnum Indigo. Zadenfell, I don't know who that is. I probably should know who some of these people are, but I don't. He has three items listed there: the ricochet armor, the menace stance, and the salvage battle rifle. And I know Green Skull loves the salvage battle rifle because it's all green and everything. So if you guys haven't seen the videos that he's put up over the Bullseye pack in the championship bundle, definitely go check him out. He does a really good job of actually breaking everything down. Definitely has a lot more time than I do to make that kind of video. So go check his stuff out. And of course at the bottom, Bravo, he likes the Mark V helmet, and I have a lot of people that I've been playing with recently that have gone switched to the Mark V. So a lot of the cool stuff coming out of the Champions bundle. Remember, it's if you get the bundle, it's basically a 3-in-1. You get the weapon skin pack, you get the three custom armors, the Prefect, the Mark V, and the what was the other one? The ODST. You also get the bonus Ricochet armor. That is the one with the football mask. So you get that with the bundle. And of course you get the Bullseye pack, which we will dive deep in here because we have the experts that have helped work on the maps and essentially create the maps here with us tonight. So we're saving that for the juicy part of the podcast. Championship update for some winners. We have confirmed week 2, 3, and 4 winners. I don't know if we've seen the fourth one come out of week 1 or if they've announced that yet. But we have for week 2 confirmed, Chillis named 48, Dream, lots of D's at the beginning there, Krizen. Those are the week 2 winners so far. We have week 3, Contra, Excerpt Foot 7, Like Shelf 996165. Must be a lot of shelves that look alike. That's a lot of shelves. And, Hatodis? Todis? Something? Silent H, maybe? Todis? So, that's the 4 for week 3. And then we have 3 for week 4. We have SV Nated. And that's probably who you guys think it is. It's the pro player Nated, so he made it in. YouTube Gangster, or Game Sager. YouTube Gang Sager. And then FoxyPJX. So those are the confirmed week 4 winners. So we're still missing 1 from week 1, 1 from week 2, and 1 from week 4. Waypoint has also said that the week 5 winners will be receiving emails this week. So if you have been playing in the Champions playlist and you were in the top 4 or so, make sure you be checking to be checking your email inboxes for the invites to the finals. There are 10 final spots that are going to be given away from Halo Waypoint, and they will be doing it on Twitter this week. So if you are going to PAX and you still want a chance to be playing in the championship for the Invitational Bracket, definitely make sure you follow the Halo Waypoint account. It's slash Halo Waypoint, not that hard to remember, and be keeping an eye out throughout the next week or so. And that's going to be the last chance that you have to actually get into the Invitational Bracket to be playing in the finals at PAX. We did give away 2 of ours over the past week or so. One person came through and claimed it. The other entrants were actually not going to PAX, so we were only able to give 1 away, unfortunately. But hopefully that person will be able to show their skills off at PAX. The entry was very, very, very well written, so I'm happy to give that one away to that person. And, of course, we have some of our own people going. I have one in there. I gave one to Naked Eli and a couple other people. So we're hopefully getting that one out in there. Gamescom is also another opportunity. If you are in Germany and are attending Gamescom, by the time you're listening to this, you probably have already played your spots or have already won your spot to go and play in Seattle. So I'll preemptively say congratulations to all the finalists at Gamescom and good luck in Seattle if you are going. So that's going to be quite a trip to go from Germany all the way over to Seattle in a matter of a week. Taking a slight detour here, are you guys going to be at PAX? You gonna have some representation there?
No, I don't think so. Not this year.
Aww.
I know.
Wah wah wah. That sucks.
PAX is cool.
Sorry?
I said PAX is cool. I've been there. It's a good convention.
Yeah, so I met Tom at PAX East actually this year.
Oh yeah. Well,
I guess he forgot about that. Well, great. That
makes sense.
I was the big tall guy.
Now it all makes sense. sorry.
Aaron, that's your cue. So we have PAX coming up, of course, next week. So I'll be flying out there on Wednesday and actually staying through Wednesday and hopefully be able to do some sightseeing before I fly to Tulsa for a wedding from a friend. So that's going to be good. For the final eight is going to be broadcasted on Sunday, September 1st, starting at 4 p.m. Pacific time. And of course, that is the finals for the grand prize of $200,000, which is going to be insane. Going to be lots of good Halo playing on that day. You will definitely want to check out the finals, and they will be broadcasting throughout the whole weekend as well. So it's not like you're going to be without your Halo coverage throughout the whole week. You will see the live stream going throughout, I believe, the entire event, and you'll have communities covering it. We'll be covering it, I'm sure. A few of the other YouTubers, Dan will probably be covering a little bit of it. Some other, probably Halo pros will be covering some of it as well. So definitely check it out, and keep your eyes peeled for all the stream details and all the, Halo news sites posting all their stuff from the finals. Matchmaking playlist update. We have a couple of things going down with the Ricochet playlist that coming 2 weeks. As you guys know, the, Champions Bundle DLC playlist is currently up for the Champions Bundle that came out on Tuesday, and that is featuring Pitfall and Vertigo and a variety of different game types, including the newly released Ricochet, King of the Hill, Extraction, CTF, and Slayer. So if you have not been able to go play in that playlist, definitely do so. For the Ricochet playlist, that's going to be dropping on September 3rd, which is in approximately two weeks. We will have the following maps playable. We'll have Pitfall, Monolith, Skyline, Haven, Adrift, and Solace. They'll also be introducing the multi-team variant of Ricochet into that playlist as well. Couple questions about that once we get through the bulletin, by the way, as I'm sure you guys are very well aware. There's going to be a playlist consolidation for some of the playlists that are currently out there. One of the things I've already done is mixed Regicide in with Rumble Pit, and they're going to be continuing to combine some more playlists. So Legendary Slayer is also going to be included in Infinity Slayer, and they're going to be adding Legendary BR on several maps into one of the voting slots for Infinity Slayer as well. So, of course, they're doing this based on population numbers, so it's no surprise that they want to introduce new playlist to be included in Halo. So if you see something disappear and something that was there that you regularly played, definitely just keep an eye out on the bulletins. They usually are very good with matchmaking updates saying what they're doing with all the playlists and stuff. And if you have any more deep questions about it, you can definitely check out the forums where they answer a lot of those questions as well. Last thing on the bulletin this week is the screenshot spotlight, and this week is Mongoose. So, quite a few good ones here. I would have to say, out of the ones I've seen, my favorites are probably Endowed, Ignition, and Outcast. I think those are the kind of three that really ring and are kind of standing out to me. Do you guys normally look at the screenshots?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
I have them up on the stream if you want to look at them real quick.
What's that one with the... Go back up. That one with the rainbow in the background in space.
Yeah. Rainbow background in space. Oh, that would be Space Goose.
Yeah, that one looks awesome.
That one's done on impact. Space. Seriously, you just need to get like a monitor out there and turn it... Was it yellow? Yeah, turn it yellow. Space. So... Yeah, a lot of these are pretty good for the Mongoose one this week. Yeah, in doubt, I like because of the what looks like a lightning effect. I'm assuming that's probably a plasma grenade, how they got that. But it's really, really, really cool how they have... it just amazes me sometimes how people can get these screenshots.
They got a lot of time on their hands.
Yeah, more time than I have. All right, so... Let's get into the meat of things, shall we? So the Bullseye map pack. We have, of course, the lead lead level designer here on the Bullseye Map Pack. We also have, I don't know if we want to say more importantly, but the senior producer. So.
No, definitely not more importantly.
Better not.
So, what was the process to start things off of picking these maps to be the ones that you're going to put out for Halo 4? Obviously, the Pit being a Halo classic and Halo 3, one of the best multiplayer competitive maps that's arguably across or by a lot of different people. Personally, not a big favorite from Halo 3 because I couldn't play that map to save my life. Like, I enjoyed playing on it with friends, but when it came to actually playing well, I just couldn't hold my own. So, a little bad rubbing with the Pit, but Pitfall so far has been a great map to play on, especially with Ricochet. It's been a lot of fun to play on. And then you have Vertigo, which kind of introduces some environmental effects into Halo 4. So, what was the thought process to picking the Pit to remake and then kind of the ideas that went into Vertigo?
Well, I'll start with Pitfall. Basically with that, we knew we wanted to do a remake ahead of time. And, so we basically just, a bunch of us pitched like whichever maps we wanted to work on and we voted on it ultimately. We had, I guess, a couple of rounds. It was very informal. But at the end of the day, the vast majority decided that we want to do, Pitfall, or remake the Pit rather. Just cause there was a lot of fondness and admiration, from the team. Because we got a lot of obviously hardcore Halo fans here. So that's sort of how that one came around. It wasn't the only one on the table, but it was by far, the most, well received. And then for Vertigo, we actually were considering a handful of other maps. That initial sort of blockout stage I told you about, we got a couple of maps up to that point. Basically just had a number of playtests and iterations on all those. And then the powers that be decided to move forward with one of the maps, and that was Vertigo, which was good for me because that was mine, so I got to keep working on it. It was, as far as Vertigo is concerned, and Pitfall too for that matter, we knew, and a lot of this was also based on 343 feedback, and we really wanted to push for some infantry-based maps for this map pack, and so Pitfall in that sense was kind of a no-brainer, and Vertigo as well was really fun for me to work on because I was trying to implement some design ideas that I had that I didn't think had really been implemented into any of the other levels yet. But still keep it fun and familiar for Halo fans. And I personally am a big fan of asymmetric maps. But I wanted to try and fine tune it for competitive play, if possible. As far as the EMP device that goes off, that was sort of a big conversation that, I still remember. I wasn't originally involved with the conversation that this came from.
Hey Steve, by the way,
I basically walked into the room and people were talking about adding like lightning strikes and like falling rocks and stuff to the level and like landslides. And I'm just like, why don't we just throw a giant narwhal that'll come and land on top of the level and kill everyone while we're at it?
Don't you just love those conversations?
Well, yeah, I figured like, well, if we're going to take the time and effort to really put some cool dynamic event in there, we may as well give that ability to the player and empower the player with that kind of awesomeness. And so that's sort of how it came about with the EMP device. And it started on just the tower. But then when we realized that the tower and the square base were kind of power points in the map, we decided to go ahead and put another one on top of that square base. And it really created some really interesting gameplay. My favorite is still triggering the EMP device and just watching everyone scramble off the top of the tower and running for their lives. That's always really fun. But, yeah, that's sort of how those maps came online.
Okay. As far as you said, you talked about like adding certain elements into Vertigo and just kind of adding these little effects to things. What was the one thing that kind of solidified the fact that you were going to make a button that kind of unleashed this lightning effect and drop shields? What was kind of the final deciding moment for putting that functionality in Vertigo?
Well, honestly, that was the first idea I had after hearing this huge discussion about adding all these mythical creatures attacking a level and things like that. But I think that it really came from at the time I was playing a lot of Halo 3. While I was working on the Pit remake. And I just remember thinking about the event. What was it? I know it was called Zanzibar in Halo 2. What was it called in Halo 3, the windmill map?
Last Resort.
Last Resort, yes.
Last Resort.
Yeah. And I just remember how cool that event was when you would trek your way up and take out the couplings and watch the catwalk fall over. And, you know, what's funny is I went back and did it today, and it was still cool, you know, but I was like, we can do something way cooler than that. And so we went all, like, Van Halen on it and just added these crazy effects and like, you know, because we really wanted it to be this huge wow moment for the player, like, feel really satisfying. And the key was to have it something that not just one player would get to experience throughout the match. And so we wanted to set it up so that it would cycle throughout the match. Multiple players would get an opportunity to take advantage of it. But yeah, as far as just the like, oh, this is what I want to do moment, it came pretty quick. And honestly, I was just really fortunate that we were able to implement it, and that it worked at all. So, I always had the idea in mind that it was only going to drain the player's shields. I never wanted to kill the player because I thought that would be overkill. And you know, we tried it and it became a hit as soon as we got it into the level. So we just stuck with it from then.
Yeah, I remember there was a little bit of skepticism, like whether it would work at all.
Yeah.
Like, you know, some things sound great on paper, but when you actually get in the game, you know, they fall apart. But yeah, this one, pretty much when we got it in, yeah, we knew it was going to work.
So how does this kind of compare to some of the other, like, button type things that we've seen in Halo? So like we've had the door on, kind of door, but the gate on Zanzibar / Last Resort. We've had the door on High Grounds. We've had the door on, Containment from Halo 2. We've had, the doors on Standoff in Halo 3. What's the kind of dynamic that you see these interactive bits being a part of Halo and kind of bringing that back? Is it something that, and working with 343, that a lot of people you see feedback on is like, we want these kind of interactive features back in, or is it something that's kind of one-off things where it's specific to the feel of a map, and it's like if you feel that's right, you include it in there? What's kind of that balance?
Well, I think it was really just something that us in 343 decided had sort of been kind of absent for a while, just having some kind of cool player-driven event in a multiplayer match. And, you know, it's funny because we talk about it as if it's sort of like this new awesome element, but, you know, I still remember playing, like, original Unreal Tournament back in the day and pressing a switch and watching someone blow up or explode trying to go for a mega health or something like that. It was really just, we wanted to 343 on ourselves. We wanted to just put something really, like a really cool creative spin on this map pack. And we had a really great opportunity to try something interesting here. And we jumped on it early enough that we were able to get it in. So
usually with DLCs, you know, the tech is, you know, it's not moving any longer, you know, it's no longer in development. And, you know, when you're making maps, you know, mostly from the team, they want to keep pushing. They want to try different things. They want to try new things. And, you know, it seemed like a good time to do that. You know, like Steve said, it was something that both we wanted internally and, you know, 343 had, you know, mentioned a lot as well. You know, hey, let's bring some of this stuff back. And it seemed like that the Vertigo was a perfect map for that because we had all the elements right in there already. Mm-hmm. We just needed to kind of put a different wrapper on it and make it interactive. And I think it turned out really well.
Yeah, and it's also worth noting, you know, that at this point we've essentially mastered sort of the Halo 4 tech. So we did have some wiggle room and some free time to try to implement something like this. So that definitely worked in our advantage because I don't think it's something we probably would have tried to do on the release.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Cool. Is there any kind of discussions that go on between you on whether or not you're going to implement something like an effect button that's like what you have in Vertigo versus a kind of a map flow changing where we have something like the doors on standoff and high ground? Is there like different discussions around that in different areas where those kind of fit when you make a map?
Well, yeah, I would say, you know, we always have stuff like that come up. It basically just comes down to the map itself. And you know, for Vertigo, we certainly could have, you know, tried to put in some kind of a level flow player-driven event, like a door that you smash or a catwalk that you can either add or remove. But I think at the end of the day, it basically just comes down to what fits that level the best. And you know, if we have that opportunity, then it's going to be easy for the people that are working with the maps all the time to really think like, oh, this would be a great place to have a door that you smash in and have this cool level changing event, you know, or it'd be cool to have, a floor that you can trigger that electrocutes all the players. From my end, really just kind of called out to me early on. And so that's why we sort of just rolled with it.
So for the Ricochet game tab, let's move on to that now. Was that something that has been kind of an idea ever since the release of Halo 4? Or was this something afterwards seeing with people playing Griffball or some other kind of player feedback that this idea came about? How did Ricochet evolve as a game type?
So just kind of as a general company process and philosophy, usually we have a lot of irons in the fire. So there are a lot of different ideas that we try and we test. And, you know, it's like Steve mentioned earlier, we just playtest all the time. You know, we're constantly playtesting here, sometimes multiple times a day. and just generating a lot of feedback. And our overall intention is we let the best idea win. And there are times where, you know, say for maps, for example, we have five different maps, but we're only fitting three slots. We'll choose the best three, but that doesn't mean that the other two are bad. Usually they're good ideas there. And for whatever reason, things just don't, you know, come to fruition. It might be a time issue. It might be, you know, the designer is just kind of running into, you know, some problem with the flow or the layout that they can't quite, you know, wrap their head around at the time. But I mean, there's definitely precedent where, for us in the third, DLC, High Rise, which is our internal name. Sorry. I'm probably always going to say the internal names. They're so burned in my brain.
That's fine.
Perdition.
Perdition. Okay.
It was actually a map idea that one of our designers had, and there was just something that he couldn't quite figure out at the time, but everybody really liked that idea. And that was just something that, you know, it existed. We were doing more maps and we're like, hey, there's this great idea. And he actually had an epiphany and we solved it. And, you know, it ended up being Perdition. And I think Ricochet sort of falls into that same category where when we were doing the Halo 4 stuff, we had a lot of ideas on the table. And at the time, we chose, you know, the best ones, the ones that were kind of furthest along, the ones that had the greatest chance for success at the time. But it was always there in everybody's mind. You know, people remembered having, you know, a tremendous amount of fun on this mode. And when we had the opportunity to do another mode, again, we sort of put a lot of ideas on the table. And that was one of them. There were actually some other things that we considered as well. But when we gave everything a fair shake and did play tests, all the feedback was extremely positive about this mode. And everybody thought that, you know, we had sort of solved some of the things that, you know, were kind of a blocker at the time. You know, we had kind of moved beyond that. And we felt like it had personally for production, felt like it had a giant, huge chance for success. So, you know, fortunately, I think everybody that was, you know, in the decision making for picking which one went forward, it was pretty much a unanimous decision. Let's go with Ricochet. And I can't even explain the amount of fun that we've had internally, you know, working on this mode. It's unusual in some cases. I think that there's probably a lion's share of the people in the industry are working on games that they would never play in a million years if they were sitting at home. we have the luxury where that's not the case. Like everybody, personally, I really look forward to playtesting, and I think most people here at the company do. I mean, it's like you're playing Halo, sweet. And we, as part of our iterative process, we created a tournament internally around Ricochet to get, you know, people really interested. We wanted to make it a tournament to help people try to exploit the game. You know, pretty much any idea you can come up with to win is fair game, because I think when there's that sort of motivation and incentive to, like, hey, there's a prize at the end of this if you can win, people will try anything. And man, that was a huge amount of fun. Like, you know, people across on the other
someone
side
disagrees.
Like people on the other side of the studio were wondering like what was going on in the playtest room, because people were like yelling and screaming.
We were audible across the street. It was nuts.
It was insane.
And the prizes we got were pretty cool too. I didn't win.
I didn't either.
But you actually did win a prize. I got a second place.
I got the second place prize, which was a empty box of Kleenex
with sequins on it.
That was bedazzled.
Yeah.
To dry my tears, apparently.
The people that won got these giant, like, WWE belts or something that they still have on their desks. Like, they're still proud of that tournament. Those also have sequins, I think. So, they're pretty glamorous.
Supplied by a certain community manager.
May or may not be in the room.
I see. So, you mentioned that you had a couple of other game types that have been rolling around. You had said like about three or so. What can you talk about those at all? And will we possibly see those down the road?
We can't give away our secrets.
Ah.
Yeah. No, I wish I could talk about them, but yeah, it's, you never know. You know, you may see these things in the future.
So stuff has a tendency to resurface, you know, so, which was the case with this mode. So,
yeah.
You never know. But, yeah,
see.
Ricochet was, it's been the most fun I've ever had playtesting anything. It's been awesome. So yeah.
That's good. What do you guys think about the whole community outcry for race? Because I know I'm a huge proponent for that. And with the recent game type, the mod game type that came out, and then there was a leaked picture out there that the Waypoint app actually had a race emblem actually added to it recently. So any news on a race game type?
I think people will be able to basically be able to make their own version of race. So, kind of in this whole Ricochet package, there's Forge labels that we've included. I don't actually think that is currently available. I think that's available in a couple weeks. It's like September 3rd, I think. So basically, with this Forge label system, it's tied to the Ricochet multi-team. And you can create whatever you want, basically. And if you want to create race, it's really easy to do now. There's all kinds of crazy things that you can do. We unleashed our QA department during development on the stuff, and the modes and the maps that they were coming up with were, I've never seen anything like them. So I'm really curious what people in the community are going to do with this.
They can get crazy.
You guys came out with a couple of videos, actually, with the release of the championship bundle or the Bullseye Pack, too, going over some of the labels that you have.
Yep. So, yeah, using that system, it would be really easy to create a race game mode.
So this is going to be pretty cool to see what comes out of that. I was talking more specifically the actual race variant with the flag thing, but I guess if you were even working on that, you couldn't even talk about that anyways. So
you answered it yourself.
Hey, I gotta poke and prod everywhere I can, man. I gotta do my service to the listeners. Even if I already know the answer. So as far as some of the other stuff that you've worked on some stuff with Halo 2, back to the Blastacular pack, Halo 3. It seems like from here on out, you're going to be working on Halo for the foreseeable future. Is there anything, or what's kind of the input that you have into the development process of the Halo 4 multiplayer? Is it just they come to you with certain map ideas and you help build and playtest the maps and game types? What's kind of that relationship in terms of the multiplayer aspect? And then if it goes beyond multiplayer, if you help out with campaign or something, what's that relationship like with 343?
So, kind of just looking back to our involvement, starting with the Halo 4 stuff, 343 has always been really great to work with. It's been, we're really doing co-development in a really collaborative environment. And, usually there are ideas on both sides. So if you take map development for an example, usually the core idea, paper design, sort of the fundamental first layout is something that spawns here. And then it's through sort of a conversation with 343, kind of working through what about this idea, getting their feedback. When the map develops a little bit further, it's more in the rough geometry stage. When we can start playtesting, we'll playtest it. We'll playtest it together sometimes when we can. And, just generate more feedback. So it's,
they're playtesting too on their end.
Yeah. So they're looking at all this stuff too. Cause people, listening may not be aware that, they're in, the Seattle area. We're in Austin, Texas. So there's a very large distance between us, and driving there for lunch would be tough. But yeah, it's super collaborative. We're constantly talking back and forth. Trying to respect each other, I guess, for lack of a better word. We've both had a lot of experience doing this.
There's a lot of trust.
Yeah, that's probably a better way of putting it.
Yeah, both. I think there's both studios have a lot of trust for each other and high respect. And that goes a long way because it really aids in the communication process and how smoothly these maps and the content comes online. Because they're very supportive of the stuff that we do. They always praise the work that we do, and you know that helps us produce the best possible work that we can do as well. So,
as far as like some of the other stuff that you've worked on, is there any particular map pack that you all have worked on that kind of sticks out? Like, I know you've worked on the Majestic pack, you worked on the Castle pack. Certain Infinity, you worked on the Blastacular from Halo 2, and also some stuff in Halo Reach, the Defiant map pack. Is there kind of one thing that really sticks out as a company favorite or as a personal favorite?
For me, it's definitely all the stuff that I've been sort of involved with in the development. So I worked on the Majestic and the Castle pack as well as this current pack, Bullseye pack. Each one sort of has like its own, you know, thing that really is lodged in my memory. For the Majestic pack, it's definitely just the crazy intense battles on Monolith. I think that's one of my favorites. Castle pack is definitely CTF on Daybreak. It isn't quite as intense as some of the Ricochet stuff that we've done in the studio, some of the playtesting, but some of the CTF matches that we did on that map were crazy. Just ridiculous. And in this one, I think the standout is definitely Ricochet and playing Ricochet on some of the maps. It's playtesting every day, you know, the same map, the same mode. You know, after a while, you would imagine it would just sort of, you know, you've reached this steady state where nothing can get exciting. But man, Ricochet, just every time we play that, there's something new and crazy that happens, and people just go bananas over that mode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for me, it's definitely the Bullseye map pack, just because, well, I've only worked on Castle and Bullseye, but just how fun it was to be able to work on a classic map and do my original map, and then just how nuts it is to play Ricochet finally online with people has been super rewarding. Just the other day, when I was playing last night, actually, I noticed some people doing some crazy strategies that we never came up with to try and score goals from across the map, and I'm like, I didn't even know you could do that. But it's so cool just to it's really rewarding to play with people and see they're having that much fun and also coming up with crazy ideas that, you know, we never thought of originally.
You have to tell them the strategies.
secret strategies. What's some of the more interesting things that you've seen people do with the Bullseye game type just within your studio?
With the Ricochet game type?
Yeah. Like you kind of alluded to it earlier, just seeing some of the amazing stuff that has come out. What are some kind of pinnacle ideas that you've seen so far in development?
I think like the first real strategy that I saw is probably the most obvious one. It's just the meat shield.
Yeah.
Like, you know, hey, I've got the ball, the rest of the team stand in front of me and, you know, we'll charge forward.
Yeah, that's a good one. My favorite strategy, I'm totally a ball hog. I like to score most of the time, and it's almost impossible to sort of be a one-man show in this mode. But my favorite thing to do is if there's only one guy between you and the ball, or even sometimes two, you can just throw the ball, between you and the goal, you can throw the ball to one of the opposing team members, then it's really funny because they're sitting there pulling their trigger, you know, and you know they're still trying to shoot you because as soon as they catch the ball, you'll see them swing the ball at the air like they're trying to fire, but all of a sudden they're not shooting, So then you can all of a sudden change your focus to the other guy, and then if you're lucky, you can take both guys out and then go in for the score. That's really fun. But I think the craziest thing for me, I'm really excited to see Ricochet on the other maps when they come out, because my absolute favorite thing so far is playing on Monolith, mm-hmm. and using the man cannon. And the man cannon goes, it takes you perpendicular. It takes you between both the goals.
They may not know that the goal is floating.
The goal is floating?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's for the multi-team. I'm talking about just the, that one's fun too.
I'm talking about the
standard two teams.
Just the standard.
Yeah. So in Monolith, the man cannon takes you between both goals. And my favorite thing is taking the man cannon and trying to get the absolute perfect throw, over the defenders and launching it right into their goal. It takes a lot of skill, but it's super fun. It's also really fun to try and intercept it. But that's been my favorite thing so far, I think.
I'm trying to think if there are any other crazy things, like strategy-wise, two turrets on Pitfall is usually pretty nasty.
Two turrets, yeah.
Yeah, like if one team can control both.
Yeah, that one's pretty good. What I saw last night was the guy, he was jumping up on the ramp between the sword tower and the base itself. He would do a double jump at the peak, or right before he hit the peak of his jump, he would launch the ball over the wall. Basically, if the other team wasn't paying attention, the ball would roll in. But that was really funny. I caught a few of those because I saw what he was doing, but I thought that was an awesome strategy because we never saw anyone do that.
Yeah.
That's really cool. So as far as Monolith guys, you got a little sneak peek at what it looks like we're going to be getting for Monolith. As far as like some of the other maps that we have, can you allude to what we're going to see in those? Skyline seems pretty simple. You're going to have them probably in the base, but we have Haven in there. We have Solace in there. Can you kind of give a little hint at how those maps are going to work out?
They're all completely different from each other. That's been one of the most interesting things about this mode, is just how different some of the maps play out, and how even just a minor change with the placement of the goal or something like that can be the difference between, like, oh my gosh, this is the best map ever, to, wow, this is terrible. Mm-hmm. we've spent a lot of time on that, and I remember when we were talking about other maps to put in, or put Ricochet into, and originally, like, I was really excited to try getting it into Haven, for a while, some people were kind of saying, like, oh, I'm not sure, it might be kind of tough to get that one to work, and I think the first two or three playtests we had on it were just terrible, and we almost didn't even move forward with it, I think. But then we finally got it to a point where the goals are in just the right spot, and you can come up with some really interesting strategies to score on that map. And it wound up being pretty fun.
It's pretty amazing the difference between, you know, just a couple days and just moving the goals around. You went from being, not great to pretty awesome.
Pretty bad to pretty awesome, yeah. Yeah.
Thus is playtesting.
Yep. Yeah. That's a lot of it.
Yeah. Multi-team Ricochet isn't quite available yet, and I think you guys are definitely aware, I've seen from Twitter that you guys are, that the default game types are not set in the Halo Customs lobby yet. So do you guys have any updates to kind of how that's working out so far for everyone that's listening?
As far as I know, there's somebody looking into that right now. Honestly, I don't have an update on the status, but yeah, they'd probably post something on the bulletin once it's resolved, but I know there are people looking at it right now.
Yeah, I think that was one thing that people were a little surprised at when they dropped, was that the Ricochet stuff wasn't available as default. And I'm wondering if that's just because 343 didn't have a way to control it to where just the purchasers could only access it. But even then, what they said with the for people that were going to be able to buy the Bullseye pack and buy the championship bundle, that it was going to be a two-week exclusive, and that's not even working out that way. So I guess there's some technical limitations that they didn't foresee in actually getting that to work. So
yeah, it could be something behind the scenes with the infrastructure. But yeah, there are people looking into that. But I guess I would just look at the bulletin for updates.
Right. So let's talk about kind of the way forward that you see with Halo maps. You definitely have a push through kind of the multiplayer environment in Halo. Is there any kind of big developments that you see down the way with the matchmaking systems in Halo 5 that you think players would really be interested in looking at? Any kind of like game features that you think would help enhance and further push the Halo experience coming in future Halo titles? Is there any kind of personal thing that you want to see? You can add that in there too. Anything personally you would like to see in the Halo sandbox for multiplayer?
Personal? Yeah, I mean, as a company, yeah, we can't comment on any of that stuff. But personally, yes, I don't know.
That's why I had the personal bit in there.
Yeah, I don't know. We've all got ideas and stuff, I don't know if we can really throw some of that stuff out there without getting in trouble right now. So.
Got that watchful eye, huh?
We're thinking about it.
All right. I think that pretty much exhausts a lot of the questions for the Bullseye map pack. Is there anything else that you guys work on outside multiplayer? Or is it pretty much you specifically stick to the multiplayer aspect of Halo? And then you let 343 work on stuff like Spartan Ops and the campaign?
Just broadly as a studio, as a studio, we actually have a few teams, and each one kind of working on something different. There's the kind of the team that worked on the Bullseye stuff. And that team sort of takes advantage of the first-person shooter experience that we have. I mean, our ties to Halo go, way, way back, with Max being part of, Bungie during the early Halo days. So there's definitely a lot of built-in experience on that team. And so they sort of stick to that because it's what they're really good at. And then we've got other teams, working on other projects. We actually have, are you familiar with Age of Booty?
Yes.
Yeah, so there's a...
Haven't played it yet, but I am familiar with it.
Well, we've got a mobile team, internally working on an Age of Booty game for tablets. So we try, as a studio, we try to keep, we've got diverse interests. We like to do the FPS stuff. That's really cool. That's fun. We like to dabble in other markets. We did Crimson Alliance, action RPG. We try to, we don't try to get too locked down into any one thing. I think just as a career-wise, somebody being in the industry, it's nice to kind of branch out and do new things and, not get too attached to any one particular thing. So we try to have some opportunities for folks and try different stuff. Yeah, did that answer your question? I kind of get off on a tangent.
I was asking a little bit more specific to Halo, but, it is... nice to see that as a company you're diversified throughout different types of games and different gameplay aspects, but I was looking for more specifically Halo. Do you work on any of the other miscellaneous game modes other than multiplayer?
No, we're pretty multiplayer focused. The Halo 4 stuff that we did was, we did work on some modes and maps, but it was entirely MP. We didn't do anything with the single player or Spartan Ops.
Okay. I figure that's kind of where your realm was, specifically for Halo, was more the multiplayer aspect of it.
Yeah.
Did you guys work And we're kind of done with the Bullseye stuff. So for people listening, just we're kind of segmenting off here into a little bit more general info for CertInfinity. But for Firefight, did you guys work on that at all?
I believe there was a Firefight map that we did. This
probably
was
installation 04? No. Yeah.
This was before my time. I think this must have been the client. I don't remember the name, though. Yeah, sorry.
The one for the one that came out for Halo Anniversary or Halo Reach was the Installation 04 Firefight map. Might be the one you're talking about. Or the Unearthed one.
It's the 04?
Yeah. Installation 04?
I think so, yeah. I think that's the one.
So, yeah, there was that one. So you guys did work on that for Firefight?
Yeah, that one was before my time, before Steve's time, but yeah.
Okay. So I'm going back a little way too far for you guys. Fair enough. Gosh, I guess that kills a lot of the other questions that I had regarding your past experience. Someone else might have to chime in. No, she's being quiet. Dang it. All right. Well, as far as all the questions that I guess are relevant to what you guys can talk about, that's pretty much all I have. A big thanks to you guys for getting this out. It's been a blast so far playing Ricochet on Pitfall, and I'm excited to see some other maps come into the realm of things, even some Forge ones. I'm really interested to see what the community is doing. We actually had our normal play date on Wednesdays is usually a customs night, so we actually played a mix of Ricochet, matchmaking, and some customs that people have already made. And we had stuff ranging from basketball to ultimate frisbee to kind of a Quidditch remake.
Awesome.
So the ultimate frisbee one was actually really good.
How'd you do the Quidditch one?
So there were the three rings up on a pedestal, and the ball would spawn in the middle of the court, and it's low gravity jet packs. And you'd basically have to fly through the rings for 20 points or throw it for 10 points. And it's hard to navigate with those jetpacks when you're up in the air.
That's cool.
So we even have there was even a basketball one.
Yeah.
Needs a little work, but it was interesting to see people already coming out with ideas for the Ricochet game type. I'm guessing you guys have already seen the Griffball adaptation of Ricochet Ball for Griffochet, which they actually premiered last night on their Wednesday night Griff Brawl. And they're basically taking advantage of a lot of the Ricochet options and putting it into Griffball now. So have you guys seen that yet?
No, I haven't seen it.
That sounds cool.
Yeah, it sounds pretty awesome.
Yeah, so they were kind of drooling over some of the stats that you could actually get in the post-game report that you can't actually do with the Griffball game type, like ball stops from the goal, fast breaks, and all that cool stuff. So I think they may be kind of moving over to Ricochet for the actual Griffball game type now instead of using the Griffball game type built into the game. So props to you guys for that.
Yeah, cool.
Cool.
So it's been a blast having you guys on. I really appreciate you guys taking the time out of your day to sit down with us. Hopefully we'll see you guys on in the future for whatever other map packs that you may be working on with Halo 4, if there are any, or for, of course, probably the ones they're going to be working on for Halo 5. So definitely appreciate the time again. And thanks to the person in the background behind the curtain for getting this all set up.
You're welcome.
Hey, she speaks. See, I told her we'd get her to talk a little bit. So
yeah, appreciate you having us. This is a lot of fun.
Yeah, this has been awesome.
Great. Well, hopefully I didn't scare you guys too much to come back for another episode. And see you guys at PAX, probably, for PAX East, I guess, since you guys won't be at Prime. Definitely would love to stop by the studio sometime. Maybe one of the times I'm down there for RTX, I get to swing by. Hopefully, that'd be really cool.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, definitely.
If you ever need a podcasting position, 5 years experience. All right. So, Again, guys, this is Tom Potter, senior producer, and Steve Young, lead level designer for the Bullseye pack that you are playing in the Champions Bundle. They are from a group called Certain Affinity, of course, and you can follow them at Certain Affinity, and I believe they have Facebook as well, /Certain Affinity. Correct me if I'm wrong on that.
Yep.
They have some excellent Forge tutorials on their YouTube channel, especially with regards to the Ricochet game type, because there are a lot of different options. So actually, before we wrap up, why don't you go ahead and talk about all those options, and we'll make that kind of our last topic of discussion. Talk about all those little cool things that you added to the Ricochet game type that just opens the realm of forging capabilities.
This one's for you, Steve.
Gosh.
Putting you on the spot at the very end.
So I can't necessarily go through every single option just because there are so many. It's hard for me to get a grasp on all of them. But we've played around and done some really crazy, interesting stuff. One of my favorites that we've seen so far is just like setting up a mongoose to be the ball, and like a rocket hog to be the goal. So the mongoose, the helpless little mongoose, has to chase the rocket hog.
Oh gosh!
Try to smash into it to score. At which point, both vehicles, of course, blow up. Always have to have them blow up at the end. and you know, that's basically what we've had the most fun doing, I think, so far, is just like launching vehicles into goals or other vehicles and having them explode has been crazy fun. just the fact that you can essentially turn pretty much any object into a ball, and alternatively any object into a goal, opens it up so much for some crazy stuff beyond just using a regular ball and a regular goal. We have had a lot of fun playing around with that stuff. So
very nice. All right. That's the final set of questions. I'll leave it at that. We've been at this for an hour and a half. So I'll leave that as the last question. Thank you guys again very much for tuning in. This has been Podtacular episode 388. Covering the Bullseye pack that is including Pitfall, which is a remake of the Pit from Halo 3, Vertigo, and the newly introduced game type Ricochet. Remember, if you have not gotten these maps yet, you can get it as part of the Champions Bundle for 800 Microsoft points, or you can get the pack separately for 320 Microsoft points from the Xbox Live Marketplace. Remember, you can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch, where we do our live broadcasts. We do those regularly on Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. And we also have our custom game nights, Wacky Wednesdays, which start at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time as well. And we broadcast those, both of those live, of course. For Wacky Wednesday this week, we got to play some Ricochet stuff. We dubbed it Rickety Ricochet for this time around. We got to play some really fun Ricochet customs and some matchmaking. So definitely check it out if you're looking for a customs lobby on Wednesday nights. We used to get a full party around the hour and a half mark of playing. So there's definitely lots of people in there to play. And we've even split up the party sometimes. So if you're looking for a place, definitely come check us out on Wednesday nights. You can visit our website, podtacular.com. And while you're there, if you have any questions or any comments or anything that you want to talk about that's Halo-related, definitely drop us a line. And you can do that by hitting the big green button on the top right of our website, or send it to us directly in an email to submissions@podtacular.com. Or if you are so bold and you want to be heard on the podcast, you can call our listener voicemail, 240-200-HALO. That's 240-200-4256. And leave a voicemail about, say, 90 seconds long. That's about the perfect duration for a voicemail. While we do this podcast for free, any support that you guys can give us to the site helps, whether it be retweets, whether it be sharing us with your friends, or whether it be donating through the PayPal on our homepage. Anything that you guys can do to help promote the podcast and get the word spread out there We appreciate it very, very much, and thank you, all of our listeners, for tuning in on a weekly basis. On behalf of everyone at Certain Affinity and myself, thank you again for tuning in, and we will see you guys next week in Seattle for PAX. So we'll be doing a live stream, hopefully from the hotel there, on Thursday night. It'll be really late, though, so stay tuned to Podtacular, and we'll let you know what time we'll be recording. So, good night.